Well, good morning, everybody. I hope y'all don't mind me sitting down, but you're seated, so I thought I would sit down as well, right? It's good to have you guys. Again, we want to say welcome to all of our guests this morning. If you're a guest, we want to welcome you to the Bend, and we want to meet you right after service, so right outside of those doors. But I'm ready to get into the Word of God and just go to teaching, all right? So everybody take out a Bible right now, if you can, and go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. As you're turning over there, I've got one very important announcement. This coming Wednesday night, we are going to have Wednesday night service. It seemed like the devil's tried to do everything he can to stop us from having a midweek service. But this Wednesday night, Pastor Steve is going to be starting a brand new teaching. And if you've never heard Steve Jones teach, you've missed out. He is a deep, deep, deep teacher of the Word of God. So we will be here. He will be teaching. We'll do a couple songs of worship. I'm going to be over there in the fellowship hall with the youth. The cafe with the youth, hanging out with them. So young people, you better turn out. We're going to have a good time together, and we'll have something, of course, for the children. That's 6:30 this coming Wednesday night. Amen. Second announcement I have is just equally important. Today, I've made a decision. I'm tired of putting scriptures on the screen because we don't bring Bibles to church. So I've decided I was just going to force everybody to have their weapon in their hand. How many brought a weapon? I don't care if it's a glow-in-the-dark weapon. Hold your glow-in-the-dark. There's those glow-in-the-dark weapons. You're going to need something to write with today. I'm not putting any notes on the screen. I'm not putting any PowerPoints on the screen. I'm going to give Liz a job. Your job is to tweet all my tweetable moments. That's your job. Everybody else gets to take notes today. We're going to do some old school church, all right? Thank you, son. You did a great job this morning. And you did a really, really good job. Y'all give Adam a good hand. I'm glad to have him back. He went to Louisiana the last couple of weeks, and all hell attacked us. And so, anyway, I'm glad to have the Levites back in the house leading us in the presence of God. All right. Today, we're going to continue part two. How many of you watched my message last week? If you did not watch my message, you can go to YouTube. Just look up Pastor Shane Warren. You need to watch part one of Break the Curse. I talked about generational curses and how to break generational curses last week. We're going to go back into breaking the curse, and today we're going to talk about breaking satanic attacks. I've had this in my spirit for a couple weeks, and I'm getting ready to dump a lot of information on you today. We're going to look at three passages of Scripture, and then I'll be quoting Scripture along the way, and you'll need your Bible along the way. Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all ready for the Word? Look with me at the famous warfare passage, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles there is schemata, or schemes, strategies. Listen to me carefully. The enemy is a strategist. The enemy is a strategist. We're going to learn later, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is spiritual. He is a real being. I know there's a lot of the church world that doesn't believe in a real devil, but he is a real devil, and he is very strategic in how he attacks us. The Bible says there is an answer for that called the armor of God. And it declares to us we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. Without being armed with the armor of God, you will not stand. You cannot beat this enemy in your flesh. Because this is not a fleshly battle. You cannot beat this enemy by doing 1,000 push-ups a week and 1,000 sit-ups a week. And you can't beat the enemy that way. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have been equipped with spiritual things to fight spiritual battles because we are spiritual beings that live in physical bodies. We've got to get the priority right, or everything is going to be on its head. So hear me today. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to talk about these four dimensions of spiritual warfare in just a moment, and how the enemy uses these dimensions or flows in and out of these dimensions to attack our life. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, I'm reading from my King James Version today because I like the King James rendering of this word, to withstand. The New King James and other translations says to stand against. It is the wrong translation for the word. The word withstand is a word. How many's ever heard of antihistamines? It is the Greek word antihistamine, which is where we get the English word antihistamines from. So when a foreign substance comes against your body produces histamines to protect itself. And it can inflame, and you can have allergies as a result of your body overreacting, check this out now, overreacting to protect itself from a substance coming into your body. So you will go to the doctor and they will prescribe you antihistamines to bring that overreaction of your body back into line so that you feel normal again. This is the word that Paul used to talk about standing against the wiles of the enemy. He said the only way you can do this is to take on the armor of God so that you can withstand antihistamine. Antihistamine. You can withstand, and having done all, to stand. Let's look at verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. Next week, I will talk about the armor in detail. We will go through every piece of the armor and we'll talk about it in detail, what it is and how to apply it to your life. Now, keep your ribbon right there or a finger right there, and I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I've heard some people say, well, the devil doesn't have any power. If the devil doesn't have any power, how in the world is he devouring? He has power. I used to hear, and I love Shambach. Shambach made such an impact in my life. He said, the devil's had all his teeth pulled. He's a lion that's had all his teeth pulled. Well, he's not had all his teeth pulled because you can't really devour something if you can't chew on it. It's not that he's had all his teeth pulled. His right to devour your life has been taken away. He still has power, but he don't have legal right. Right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Key verse, verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There's these young generation of preachers running around now saying there's no such thing as spiritual warfare. That's because they haven't been pastoring very long. Somebody thinks there's no such thing as spirit. And their basis is that Jesus won the victory on the cross, so therefore there's no battles to be fought. Well, the war has been won, But anybody who's been in the military will tell you, just because the war has been won doesn't mean you don't have to occupy territories and fight battles to keep the territory that you have taken, right? So we've got to resist. Everybody say resist. We've got to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. So we've identified we are in a spiritual battle. We have been equipped with spiritual weapons. We must resist or withstand the enemy because he is going to come to attack. Luke, chapter 10. Verse number 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power." Say that word, power. Say it again. "I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So look, we're in the middle of a warfare. We have a real enemy whose name is Satan. He is an incredible strategist at how he attacks us. He will not attack everybody in this room the same way or on the same time scale. He is a strategist. One of the messages I'm going to preach here in a few weeks is entitled Satanic Setups, and I'm going to show you how David was set up by Satan. David was set up by Satan. I'm going to show you this in detail. He is a strategist. We are in a warfare. We must be sober. We must wake up, church. We must realize that this battle that we're in isn't just a political battle, though it has political ramifications. It is not just a church battle, even though it has religious ramifications. This is a spiritual battle for the heart and soul of a nation and even the whole world. Things are climaxing. We are at the end of the age as we know it. There is a warfare going on. We have an enemy. He is real. He is a strategist. And we must resist. We cannot go with the flow. We cannot be comfortable. We cannot be at ease in Zion, as the Word of God says. We must resist. Listen, steadfast in the faith is what the Word of says. Steadfast, which means you're going to have to stay steady, even though everything around you might be falling apart, even though the world seems to be crumbling around you. In the midst of it, we are a people who are empowered by the Holy Ghost, given legal right from Jesus Himself to have victory over every attack that comes against our life. But we must stay steadfast. If we lose a battle, we don't throw in the towel. We refuse to relinquish territory. We refuse to back up. We refuse to back down. We refuse to be quiet. We must resist steadfast in the faith. Now, let's go back over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and let me show you how these attacks play out in the realm of the Spirit. Because today, what I want to do is talk to you about spiritual attacks, how they come, how to recognize you're under attack. I personally believe that this recent attack upon our church happened as a result of two fiery Wednesday nights of intercession that was taking place in this room. I believe with all my heart. The enemy is not happy about what's going on here. But I am not consulting his joy factor to determine what God has told us to do, right? In fact, my intent is to make him utterly miserable. And then when he gets thrown in the bottomless pit and the lid is closed, to dance on the lid for the 1,000-year reign. So I'm just warning you right now, I've got a little attitude. I know somebody said, "Well, I can't just hate the devil." Well, there's something wrong with you. I hate the devil. So how do these attacks play out? Verse 12, Ephesians 6:12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right. There are four dimensions. You're going to want to write this down. There are four dimensions to spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare happens in four dimensions. These four dimensions impact three realms of the spirit. Number one is this natural realm, which the Bible calls the first heaven. This is the realm that we're in. The second realm is the second heaven, which is where these principalities and powers operate. They have their seats in the second realm. I personally do not believe that the second heaven is on the other side of the universe. I believe the second heaven is a dimension that is as close as our breath. You've heard me teach on this before. You can go back and watch videos where I taught on these dimensions. And so that's where I believe these spiritual beings are. The third heaven is where God's at. Now, these three dimensions are impacted by these four spiritual dimensions of activity, right? The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Let's start with that word first, principalities. It is the Greek word archos, A-R-C-H-A-S, if you're taking notes, archos. Archos in Greek literally means chief rulers, beings of highest ranks. It can also, in the biblical world, the ancient world, mean literally masterminds of wickedness. Little g gods, wicked gods, right? And if you'll notice, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So they're not singular. There's not just a principality, there's principalities. These are chief spirits. So in Satan's kingdom, you have Satan. And under Satan, you have these archos, these arch spirits. You have the same thing on God's side. You have God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then under them you have archangels. We know there are at least two archangels mentioned in the Bible. I believe three. Michael, Gabriel, but the Bible also mentions Lucifer as an archangel. Or at least he seems to be an archangel according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. He's the anointed cherub that covers. That's terminology for an archos, for an archangel. So what I want you to see is in God's kingdom, you have this structure and this order. God gives instructions. These high-ranking angels are to see that these instructions are carried out in the earth. Right? So they go from the third heaven through the second heaven, through these principalities, down into the first heaven. Are y'all with me? Okay, please just stay with me. I'm going to put all this together in just a moment. Satan has that as well. Satan, in the realm that he rules in, he's called the God of this world. Satan has now put himself as God. He's established his own hierarchy or system. And under him, he also has high-ranking spirits. The Bible calls them here in English, principalities. These principalities, you can go throughout the Word of God, they are always over regions and territories. Daniel chapter 10 gives you proof of this. Greece, had the prince of Greece, which is a spirit, this is Daniel, is a spirit that is ruling over Greece. It is an arch spirit, a high-ranking spirit that's over the nation of Greece. The Bible also talks about the prince of Persia. It's a high-ranking spirit that's over the nation of Persia. Look at me. There are high-ranking spirits, wicked and righteous, that are over different nations, cities, territories, and regions. On satanic side, they are there for one purpose, to impose Satan's agenda and wickedness down through every dimension, from the second dimension all the way down into the first dimension, ultimately trying to dethrone God himself, which will never happen. You and I know that will never happen. He is a defeated foe, right? I didn't say he was smart. I just said he's defeated. Okay, so listen, they're trying to impose that wickedness. It starts with Prince Spirits. Listen to me. Over Cookville, there are arch spirits that have been assigned by Satan to keep the Upper Cumberland region in a certain level of darkness. Now, that level of darkness can manifest itself in many ways. It can manifest itself in drug addiction. It can manifest itself in religion. Right? You say, well, I don't believe you can go to church and be blind. Well, you don't believe what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you have eyes to see. They were religious. They went to church. He said, you have eyes to see, but you can't see. Right? So religion can be a form of wickedness that keeps people bound. It can manifest in a lot of ways. And their job is to work that. That are these chief spirits that are over territories and over regions. And let me just keep going here. I'm about to get ahead of myself. Then he says, we fight against principalities, against powers. Everybody say powers. Now, there was a reason I was having you say power when I talked about Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power. There's two Greek words. Actually, there's more Greek words than this, but two specifically in your Bible for power. One is dunamis, which is raw power. If I grab a plug up here, a hot wire, I'm going to experience dunamis, power, raw power, force, might, strength. But then there's the Greek word exousia in your Bible, and it is legal right. Legal right. Right? I might have the power to go rob a bank. Let's say I can amass enough power, weapons or whatever. I can have power to rob a bank. But how many in this room know I do not have a legal right to do that? I will be met by police officers. And let me just say, thank God for our police officers. Thank God for our police officers. I would not be a police officer for anything. I wouldn't be a preacher or a police officer. No, I don't know what I'm saying there. But If I go and try to enforce, listen to me, if I go to try to take something that doesn't belong to me, I will be met by an equal force from law enforcement who trumps me. Now, they might not be able to trump me with weapons, but they do trump my power with authority. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread over all the power of the enemy. The first word there in Luke is the word exousia. So Jesus said, behold, I give unto you authority to tread over all of the dunamis, or the power of the enemy. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong the devil is. It doesn't matter how much power these arch spirits have to hold a territory captive. Jesus has given unto you and I, through the blood, through his name, through the power of the word of God, which we can quote, he's given unto us legal right to meet his force with the power of the Holy Ghost. So look, we've been given legal right by the name of Jesus and the word of God and the blood, but we've also been given power. Dunamis power. Where did that dunamis power come from? From the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's the reason Jesus said, I got to go away, because you're going to need something besides just you to fight this battle that you're fighting in the earth. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. So we've got to go in Jerusalem, and we wait till the power of the Holy Spirit, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We need the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Because what we've got going on right now is a lot of Christians who have the name, have the blood, have the word. They're exercising their legal right, but they don't have much power in the spirit realm. But I got news for you. No matter what the enemy's doing to you, greater is he that is in me. Everybody say in me, than he that is in the world. So listen, yes, the enemy has power. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He has power, but he does not have legal right. Look at me. Oh, I'm going to get up and run around the room right now. Something just ran down the back of my neck. In the Church of God, we used to jerk like that when it hit us. And I wondered why they used to do that. I'm not making fun of it. I'm telling you, when it hits you, sometimes you do that. I'm just saying, I want to jump around the room right now, because Christians just don't understand. They really just don't understand. We are allowing the enemy to run over us and treat us like a bunch of stepchildren in the kingdom of God. I have been given not only legal right, but I have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of me. So what I have now is, yeah, I've got an adversary who's coming to fight, but he's got a water pistol. And I got a 50 cal. Next time the devil comes around your house, why don't you just pull out the 50 cal of the Holy Ghost, point it at him, and say, go ahead and make my day. I just dated all of you. Some of y'all don't even know what make my day means. Right? Anybody glad you got authority and power over all of the power of the enemy? Come on, that means sickness and disease. That means COVID. That means broke, busted, and disgusted. That means poverty. That means your children being in bondage. You've got authority and you've got a power to tread over all the power of the evil one. Somebody give the Lord a praise today for the power of the Holy Ghost. So we have Arcas, and then we have authority. So watch now, we have Satan, and I'm just going to talk about Satan's kingdom. You have the same thing in God's kingdom over here, but since we're talking about satanic attacks, listen to this. We have Satan. He has these archangels and regions and territories. Their job, he gives instructions, commands. Their job is to enforce those commands. He sends it down into people who have authority in certain realms, or these spirits rather, who have authority in certain realms. That's how it works. Then you come down into powers. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this present world. Now, this word here, rulers of darkness, is the Greek word kosmokrator. Kosmokrator. It literally means dominion through the world system. Dominion through the world system. Now, look at me. This world system operates off deception. John 8:44, you're of your father the devil. Satan has a language. The Bible says when he speaks, he cannot tell the truth. He is a liar from the beginning. He cannot tell the truth. How many's ever had the enemy tell you, you felt like the enemy told you something, you weren't going to make it, or, you know, I got you now? How many's ever felt... Some of y'all are so holy, you've never been attacked by the devil. You ever messed up and the enemy tell you how sorry you are? Right? Well, guess what? If he is saying it, all you got to do is believe the opposite. If he says you're defeated, you ought to jump up and down and run around the room and say, well, thank God I got the victory in Jesus Christ, because he's a liar. He can't tell the truth. Right? He tells you're going to die, you ought to jump up and run around the room. That means you're going to live. The problem is we believe his lies. So watch now, the system, dominion through the world system. Look at me, this world is fallen. And this fallen system is throughout everything in the earth. Right? Four great winds change the world. Four great winds change the world. You might want to write them down. The wind of economy. The wind of religion, the wind of education, and the wind of war. These four areas, these spiritual beings work in and through and they have a system whereby they use our modern politics is a really good example. All you got to do is watch CNN or Fox News or any of that, and you'll see all of it. And I'm not just talking about Republican, Democrat. I'm talking about in total, in general. They're all corrupt. Right. Yeah, you know. Hey, look, show you something over here and stand over here behind the curtain and pull this string. Everybody's working an angle. Working angle. What is that? That is a system that's based on deception. Satan uses that system, right? Then he uses the word spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the Greek pneumatica panarius. It literally means demonic spirits at work in the lower heaven. So there's these things called demons that are disembodied spirits. Arkas are angels. They communicate with other spiritual beings, angelic spiritual beings who are authorities that's under them. These are different ranks, you see. And they move that all the way down through a system. Wickedness has to have a system. I don't know how. Ed, yeah, but y'all, some of you will never come back. So let's save that for a week or two. It has to have a system. This system, watch now, once it comes through the system, it is proliferated by demons. Now, demons are disembodied spirits. It's proliferated by demons. These are disembodied spirits that are at work here. They are the lowest class of spiritual wickedness. Somebody told me one time, said, well, you need to be afraid of me because I'm demon-possessed. I said, well, if you're demon-possessed, you're just hanging out with the scum of the spirit world. That's the lowest class. I mean, somebody was proud of that, really. I said, that's the lowest class of the spirit world. So their job, watch now, disembodied spirits have to have something to manifest through. So they need bodies. So watch now. Now, if I'm going to manifest this, and I'm going to use Pastor Steve because that way I don't offend anybody else in here, but you guys know Steve don't have demons. I'm just, right? Well, I mean, Kat might say differently sometimes, but for example, if Steve is lost or if Steve is saved but doesn't know his rights, privileges, or the Word of God, the deception of the system can weigh in on Steve's mind to where now this wicked spirit can use him. And it doesn't mean everybody's possessed with the devil, but they will influence his actions that he will unknowingly, unwittingly carry out in his flesh. So what happens is you're at work and the devil wants to get at you. And he knows that you're weak or you're going through something or you just had a hard time. So what he does is he strategizes to set up a moment at the water cooler to where this person who normally is friendly to you all of a sudden comes along and cusses you out. And his job or his desire or his goal, rather, is just to put a hook in you to get you to respond. Because he knows if he gets you in the realm of your flesh, he moves you out of being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching better than y'all are looking at me. He gets you out of being led by the Holy Spirit. A spirit-led person means they're more conscious of what the Holy Spirit wants them to do and what the Word of God teaches them to do than they are conscious of their flesh pulling on them. Right? But what he wants to do is get you over into the flesh. Why is that? Because you have three big enemies that you fight. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You fight a system that we're all living under right now. You fight a system. You fight flesh that's influenced by that system and demonic powers that are working. But thanks be unto God. The Bible says God always makes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, the good news is I've already got the victory. The victory is for me to give up. It's not for me to get. It's for me to lose. Everybody say, I already got victory. You say, well, I don't feel like I got victory, Pastor. I didn't ask you what you felt like. You've already got the victory. Victory's not based on your feeling. Victory's based on who you are in Jesus Christ. You say, well, you don't know where I'm at right now in my life. I don't care where you're at. Listen, everybody in this room has multiple personality disorder. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I knew. That explains a lot about you. Everybody in this room has three personalities. There's three people in you. The man you are or the woman you are when Jesus isn't involved. That's one of you. Oh, yeah, it's there. Some of you are like, no. No, that old man's gone. Somebody cut you off in traffic. You'll see. You go long enough without food. I don't know about y'all. I don't get hungry. I get hangry. Right? Right? The man you used to be, the fallen man that you used to be, the man or woman that you are right now. Thank God you're not what you used to be. But also sitting in the chair today is the man and woman that you are called to be, that you're created to be, that you're anointed to be in God. You got three personalities in you right now, and any one of them at any moment could stand up. I'm not talking to the old you. I'm not even talking to the you now. I'm talking to the you that God created you to be. You are victorious in every single aspect of your life. No weapon formed against you can prosper. That's the you I'm talking to right now. The devil don't ever want you to learn who that you is. Because he's in trouble if you discover what that you is. Are y'all with me? I know normally I just jump and preach and all that stuff, but I just felt like today we need to slow down a little bit because I'm tired of the enemy taking advantage of us. We need to know who we are in Jesus. We are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Say that with me. We are more than a conqueror. We are what?
More than a conqueror.
We're what?
More than
one more time?
More than a conqueror.
Well, what does that mean? I used to box, right? And when we'd have a match, man, I would, run 10 miles a day, get in the ring and spar, get beat up on, do setup after setup, and every time I go back, they throw medicine balls and hit me in the gut, trying to toughen me up for shots. We used to spar with Evander Holyfield's sparring partner. Wait till you get hit by him. That's what will happen. You do that for 3 or 4 days. You can't even think of yourself. You know what I mean? I mean, he'll be up here at church sometime. Glenn Montague. Evander Holyfield's sparring partner. You know you're bad when you're training Evander Holyfield, right? It ain't like getting slapped by Pam. I mean, you get punched in the mouth by, Pam hits harder than Evander, right? I used to work, man, bloody nose and black eyes and cuts on my, busted lips. You walk around, you lip fat. And then all of a sudden, match day would come. And let's say that I, Shane Warren, have just signed to fight Mike Tyson. What are you oohing about? You act like your pastor's a wimp. I've been signed to fight with Mike Tyson. You hear me, Kevin? And I've trained all year to fight with Mike Tyson. And it's all or nothing, winner take all. The winner gets $25 million. Dollars. Loser gets nothing. I train and train and train and work and work and work, and finally it comes fight night. They call my name. I can hear it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, coming out of the dressing room is a bad mamma jamma. He's a lean, mean fighting machine. from the Upper Cumberland of Tennessee. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He can leap over walls with one bound. He has got abs like his wife has never seen. And all of a sudden, here comes Shane Superman. What? Crowd goes nuts. I come running out, right? And they're playing the song. He turns graves into gardens. I'm like, oh, no, that's the wrong song, right? No. I need bad. He's bad, right? That's one I need. I get in the ring. Then they introduce Mike Tyson. Iron Mike Tyson. Crowd goes nuts. I'm standing across the ring. He's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I've been preparing for this moment, right? I've taped up both my ears. I'm prepared. I'm working real hard for my money today. I'm going to make a point. This point's going to bless you. Just work with me for a moment. Round one. Let's get ready to rumble. Ding, ding, ding. Round one. I come out of there. I'm slipping a jab. Slipping a jab. I hit him every now and then, you know. Mike's bobbing, weaving, doing like he does. He got his black trunks on and his black shoes, and he just bobbing and weaving, can't hardly hit him. And I just pepper him a little bit, and all of a sudden, he hits me. And next thing I know, I'm stumbling around. He's beat me real bad, and I'm about to go down, and it's about to be over. And about that time, ding, 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 the round ends. Saved by the bell. Screech is saved by the bell. Anyway, so I go over here and I get in the corner, and here's my ring attendants. I say, oh, you got him, Shane. You got him. You got him. You're a bad man. Come on, float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. You got him. Just you gotta throw some punches, though. You can't let him beat on you like that. You got him. Got him. About that time the bell rings, I get up, go out there, and I fight. I'm giving it everything I got, and he's beating the mess out of me. He's hitting me in the ribs, done broke some ribs. He done mashed my nose. My nose is bleeding. My lips are all puffed up. He's beating me to death. I'm about to go down, and about that time, ding, 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 the bell rings. Saved by the bell again. I go over to the corner, and they tell me, you ain't got him. He's killing you, son. You need to lay down. You need to quit. You need to give it up. I said, no, I'm a bad man. I'm going to take him this time. This next round, I know that it's all or nothing. I'm about to go down for the last time, right? So I get out there, and I'm waiting for my moment, and I load up on a right hand. I load up on a right hand, and I give it everything I got, and I happen to catch Mike Tyson when he's open, and I hit him right square on the chin. He goes running backwards. He falls on the mat. The referee gets over the top and goes, 1, 2, 3, finally gets to 10. When he gets to 10, he waves his arms like this. The crowd goes nuts. At that moment, I am a conqueror. Say it with me. I am a... But the Bible doesn't call me a conqueror. It says you are more than a conqueror through him who loved... The Bible doesn't say you're a conqueror. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Well, what's more than a conqueror? Well, they bring me a big old fat check, $25 million. I take that check, and Pam has been at home taking care of the grandbaby. She let me get killed by myself. Yeah. I come walking in the door. I got bandages on. I got black and blue eyes. My lips are all puffed up. I come walking in the door, but when I walk in the door, I got this big old fat check under my arm, $25 million. I stumble in, and when I walk in the door, Pam doesn't say, how you doing? She doesn't say, you did great, baby. She doesn't say, you look awesome. What does she say? Every man in here, you better tell me what she said. Show me the money. Say it, show me. At that moment, I hand the check to Pam. She starts dancing around the room and says, I am more than a conqueror. I said, hold it. How are you more than a conqueror? She said, because I didn't have to train for it. I didn't have to take the beating for it. I didn't have to fight for it. I got all the benefits even though I didn't have to go to battle for it. Can I tell you something, Ben family? You are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. You didn't have to fight for your victory. You didn't have to train for your victory. 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a cross. He defeated the death, hell, and the grave for you. And then he showed up and said, here's the check. Somebody shout, I'm more than a conqueror. So this week when the devil starts beating up on you, when you feel like this system is pressing down on you, when you feel like the enemy's coming in and ravaging your family, or you feel like the enemy's putting sickness and disease on you, you remind him that 2,000 years ago, your Lord, the greatest champion of them all, the undefeated Holy One, the undisputed King of all kings, died for your sin, washed you in the blood of Jesus, gave you the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and then turned around and gave you thousands of precious promises. The Bible says, I am daily loaded with benefits. Some of y'all are getting loaded on other things. Let me tell you what I'm loaded on. I'm loaded on this. I am healed. I am blessed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not worried about who I used to be. I'm not even worried about who I am. I know who I am in Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Come on, somebody say it. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. You're not defeated. You might be deceived, but you're not defeated. That's a tweetable. You might be deceived, but you're not defeated. As soon as you get in the know, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm trying to set you free today. You say, Pastor, I've been under attack. I know you've been under attack. Resist steadfast in the faith. Stand up in who you are in Jesus Christ. Spit in hell's face. Quote the word of God. Plead the blood of Jesus. Use the name that is above every name, that at that name sickness has to bow. Cancer has to bow. Poverty has to bow. Use the name of Jesus. When I was coming up, we'd put oil on the doorpost. We get prayer handkerchiefs and put them in pillowcases and under beds. Believe that our family members go in there and lay on those pillowcases and they get saved. Get to think about Jesus. You say, well, all that's crazy stuff. That's weird stuff. No, it's not weird. See, y'all thought I was just opening up with something. No, no, no. You've got to believe that God is. You've got to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then you've got to just yield. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost in this room. You've got to just yield to what God wants to do. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard the great things that God has prepared for the upper Cumberland. There's a revival about to hit this place that none of us have ever seen before. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard. God's about to tear down some principalities. God's about to dethrone some things that have held our area captive. But I got to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. And bless God, I am more than a conqueror. What you need to do is pick your check up and go to the bank. Just pick your check up and go to the bank. This right here is who you are. I don't care what your mama did. I don't care what your daddy did. I don't care what's been running through the generations and through your bloodline. Jesus will regene you. When you came to Jesus, you were translated out of one genetic stream over into another genetic stream. You are now got Jesus on the inside of you. You can break every curse. You can break every curse. Ain't no witch got any authority over me. No, wait. Steve will tell you, go to Africa. They sit in the back of the room and do their incantations, dance around, do all kinds. I'm not worried about any witches. They don't have any authority over me. They can sprinkle dust anywhere they want. They can sacrifice them. They can do whatever they want. It will not come and land on me as long as I'm doing what this word says. The Bible says a curse without a cause cannot come. If I don't open the door for that devil, he can't come into my house. Come on, I said, if I don't open the door for that devil, he's not coming into my house. And I don't know about you, but I've shut the door and locked it. If you've opened a door for the enemy, just shut it. You say, well, how do I break a curse? How do you break a curse? Two things. It's real simple. Repentance, obedience. Repentance, repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I was living like that. And then just start doing what the Word of God says. Repentance and obedience always reverses the curse. You say, you mean I don't have to go through some weird deliverance session? Well, people go through deliverance session, and all that is a way to walk them through repentance and get them to a place of obedience. But did you know it's as simple as this? You can just repent right now, and then you can just obey God, and the curse will be broken off your life. The enemy will no longer. I want us to stand all over this room because I'm done. Hallelujah.